Okay, so today we're diving into something that I think is super relevant, especially in our global economy. We're talking about trademark counterfeiting
Absolutely.
and specifically how that plays out at the border.
Yeah, big issue.
Huge issue. I mean, you think about all the goods coming into the country every single day. How do you even begin to get your arms around that? And luckily, we have an awesome case to really illustrate how this works, and it's the Montrez Rolex SEV Snyder case.
Great case.
Yeah, super interesting case. So for our listeners, we like to do these deep dives. And what's so cool about this particular case is it gives us real insight into, the process that Customs and Border Protection uses to determine, is this thing fake? Is this a counterfeit?
Exactly. And that's really the crux of this deep dive is, what is that standard that Customs uses? What are they looking at to determine if something is counterfeit, and how does that impact, major trademark holders like Rolex or any trademark holder, really, when it comes to goods coming into the U.S.?
Absolutely. And underpinning all of this is, this statute. It's 19 USC Section 1526, which, this is the law that actually gives Customs the authority
A T.
to seize goods that they think are counterfeit. So this is a big deal. It's not just about fines. We're talking about actually taking the
It's
stuff.
forfeiture.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, so let's dive into, the facts of this specific case with Rolex. So what happened?
Well, everybody knows Rolex, most people, and they have this very famous crown device trademark. So what happened here is customs officials at JFK Airport.
Right here in New York.
Right here. They detained a shipment of watch bracelets that were being imported by a company called Grand Jewels, Inc. And, the reason they stopped the shipment is because the mark on these particular bracelets looked a lot like the Rolex crown.
Right. So right away, red flags.
Immediate suspicion.
So, but here's where it gets really interesting. Customs initially said these aren't counterfeit. Like what? How did they reach that decision?
So this is really important. Customs initially based their decision on a comparison between the mark on the imported bracelets and Rolex's trademark registration certificate.
So you have to explain that because I know what a registration certificate is, but some people might not. So explain, like, what is that?
So, trademarks, they have to be registered with the
With
government.
the USPTO,
With the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
So.
And so when you register the trademark, you're basically giving them a blueprint. Here's what my logo looks like. Here's the description of the goods and services.
So it's kind of like an official record.
It's an official blueprint for your trademark.
Okay, got it.
And so customs, they compared what was on those bracelets to this blueprint.
To the blueprint.
And they said, okay, it's not close enough to be considered counterfeit. And, they're going to remove the marks and release the shipment.
So you can imagine Rolex is not happy about this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy.
Not happy at all. I would be fuming. So what does Rolex do?
So Rolex files a lawsuit, and they're basically saying, hold on, this is wrong. These are counterfeit. Customs, you messed up.
You just seize these bracelets.
They're asking the court to, step in and tell customs to do their job properly. And, as the case progresses, the district court actually agrees with Rolex and says, customs, you're wrong. These are counterfeit. You need to seize them.
Interesting. So we have customs saying one thing. We have the court saying another.
The first court says, no, you're wrong, customs.
And so this is where we get to this central question of, like, okay, what does counterfeit even mean?
What are we even talking about here?
Because you said it has a specific legal definition. So under 19 USC 1526E, what is that?
In everyday language, we have an idea of what counterfeit means. It's a fake, a knockoff. But in the legal world, it has a very precise meaning, especially in this statute. And that's what's important here. It's not just something being similar to a trademark or even likely to cause confusion. It's a higher standard. It's a legal definition of what a counterfeit is.
So it sounds like, part of the reason why the district court said, "Hey, Customs, you're wrong," is that Customs messed up in how they made that initial decision. So what were the key mistakes they made?
So there were two main mistakes. The first one, as we talked about, is that customs compared the mark on the bracelets to that trademark registration certificate, that blueprint we talked about.
The official document.
The official document. The court said, that's not really how you determine whether something is counterfeit out in the real world. You know, that's kind of a technical legal document.
Yeah.
The second mistake is that customs evaluated this similarity from the perspective of an expert.
Okay. So somebody who knows trademarks.
Yeah. Somebody who can spot tiny little differences, you know, understands the nuances of trademark law.
Right.
They didn't look at it from the perspective of an average person.
So somebody like me.
Exactly. Like you're walking down the street, you see these bracelets.
Right. What do they think? Oh, those are Rolex.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what they should have been looking at.
So those are the two mistakes.
Right.
So why is comparing to just the registration, and why is using like an expert's view, why are those the wrong way to go about it?
Well, you know, the court's reasoning, and this was upheld by the Second Circuit Court of Appeals later, is that it really boils down to the purpose of trademark law.
Okay.
And the goal of this anti-counterfeiting statute.
Okay.
Trademark law, you know, at its core, is meant to protect consumers.
Okay.
Protect them from being confused about where a product comes from.
Right.
And also protecting the reputation and the goodwill of the trademark owner.
Right. So, like, if I see the Rolex crown, I think, ooh, quality, you know, expensive, luxury,
right.
You know, whatever comes to mind.
And they've built that up over years.
Yeah.
And so trademark law is designed to protect that. And the anti-counterfeiting statute specifically, it's really about stopping somebody from tricking consumers.
Right.
Passing off something as the real deal when it's not.
It's a fake.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the court says, okay, there's this really important concept we need to consider, and it's the average purchaser.
Okay.
And the average purchaser is just a regular person out in the world.
Right.
Not an expert.
Like me.
Like you. Exactly. And they're not going to be, you know, studying it.
Right.
Scrutinizing it. They're just going to be, you know, casually looking at it.
Right. Right. It's the average person's impression.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the court's saying, look, even if an expert could tell the difference, which they probably could.
Right.
The harm is still there.
Right.
If an average person would be tricked into thinking it was the real thing.
Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's about what the consumer sees.
Exactly.
Not what some expert sees.
Exactly.
Okay. So this average purchaser standard, it's all about protecting the consumer.
It is. And the court, you know, to really drive that point home, they even cited, you know, Congress.
Yeah,
they said Congress was super concerned about what they call an epidemic of counterfeiting.
Really? They used that word epidemic?
Yeah, they did.
Wow.
And so, you know, the court's saying, look, this is a big deal.
Right.
This isn't just about protecting some trademark on paper. This is about real world harm to people and to businesses.
Right. It's a real problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need to be focused on how the average buyer sees it out in the marketplace.
Right. Not just in some, you know, legal vacuum.
Exactly.
So, okay. So we've talked about, you know, the average purchaser, right? That's one mistake customs made. The other one is they compared the mark on the bracelet to the registration.
Right.
So what did the court say about that?
So the court basically said, look, comparing it to the trademark registration, that can be okay in some cases.
Okay.
But the better way to do it is to compare it to how the mark actually looks on a real Rolex product.
Oh.
The real deal.
Oh, okay.
The logic is that the registration, that blueprint, it gives you the legal definition, but in the real world, there might be slight variations.
Okay.
You know, how it's actually put on the product.
Right.
The style, the font, the size, the placement, things like that.
Right. And those little subtle variations might matter to the consumer.
They might matter a lot. You know, a tiny difference to an expert might be enough to fool a regular person in the store.
Right.
So the court's saying, look at actual Rolex products. That's going to give you a much better basis for comparison.
Okay. So it's kind of like comparing, I don't know, like apples to apples.
Yeah.
As opposed to an apple to a drawing of an apple.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you want to see the real deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about who should be making the judgment.
Right. Right?
The average purchaser.
Right.
And what they should be comparing it to. Ideally, the real merchandise. Right. But what's the legal standard? Like, what's the line that we have to cross for something to be a counterfeit in the eyes of the law?
So the court said, to be a counterfeit under this statute, the mark has to be substantially indistinguishable from the real one.
Okay. Substantially indistinguishable.
Yeah.
So that's the test.
That's the key.
And you mentioned earlier, this is a higher bar than regular old trademark infringement.
It is.
So explain that difference, because that seems really important.
Yeah. So trademark infringement, that's a broader concept.
Right.
It basically means you're using a mark that's likely to confuse consumers about where a product comes from or who's sponsoring it. So that standard likelihood of confusion, it can cover things that are similar but not exactly the same.
Okay.
But counterfeiting under this statute, this is a much higher bar.
Okay.
Substantially indistinguishable means it's almost identical.
Wow.
It's so close to the real thing that an average person probably couldn't tell the difference.
Okay.
So it's really about that intentional deception, trying to pass it off as the real deal.
Okay, so you're saying something could be similar enough to be infringement, but not a counterfeit.
Exactly.
It's like two different levels.
Yeah. All counterfeits are probably infringement.
Yeah.
But not all infringement is counterfeiting.
Got it. Counterfeiting is like that next level up.
Exactly. It's the really bad stuff.
The serious stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so based on all of this, what's the clear test that the court set out for customs?
They gave them a two-part test.
Okay.
First part, you got to look at it from the average purchaser's perspective.
Okay.
That regular consumer. Second part, you compare the suspect mark to the real deal. How the mark looks on actual merchandise.
On products. Okay.
Out in the world.
So average person, real world.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the test.
So what does all this mean? Like, what's the significance of this whole case?
Well, it's a big deal for trademark owners.
Okay.
Especially those like Rolex who are constantly fighting counterfeits.
Right.
Because, you know, the court basically said, customs, you have to focus on what the average consumer sees.
Right.
Not just these technical differences or an expert's opinion.
Right. It's got to be the real world impression.
Exactly.
So this is good for brands.
It is.
It's good for consumers.
Absolutely.
Because it means they're more likely to be protected.
Yeah. Customs can't just let something through because it's a little different on paper.
Right.
They got to think about what's going to happen when it hits the shelves.
Yeah. The real world.
Exactly.
Okay. But, you know, I also imagine that this makes customs' job a lot harder.
It does. They already have the massive amount of goods coming in every day.
Right.
But this ruling, it's basically saying, you got to take the time to get it right.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little more complicated.
Right. Because they can't just be like, oh, it's slightly different.
Exactly. They got to think about that average purchaser.
Yeah.
And how they would see it.
So it's a balancing act for them.
It is. Efficiency versus, you know, really protecting those trademarks and consumers.
Yeah. Okay. So big picture. What does this case tell us?
Well, it shows that the U.S. takes counterfeiting very seriously.
Okay.
It wants to protect businesses and consumers from those fake goods.
Right.
And it aligns with what Congress wanted when they passed that anti-counterfeiting law.
Right. They wanted to stop this stuff.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, as we're wrapping up this deep dive, what are the key things our listeners should really remember about this Rolex v. Snyder case?
The main takeaway is that it clarified how customs has to identify counterfeits at the border. It gave them that two-part test. Remember,
right.
Average purchaser.
Right.
Real-world comparison to genuine goods.
Yeah. So that's how they figure out if something is substantially indistinguishable.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's important to remember that that standard, substantially indistinguishable, it's a lot stricter than just, you know, regular trademark infringement.
It is. It's that higher bar. It's got to be a really good fake to be considered counterfeit under this law.
Right. It has to fool that average person.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, this has been incredibly insightful. I mean, it really makes you think about how complex all this is.
It is complex.
You know, with global trade and trademarks and protecting everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's a final thought for our listeners. Think about the challenges that customs faces every day.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dealing with so many goods from all over the world.
Right.
And they have to apply this average purchaser test to all of it.
Right.
So how might things change in the future?
Yeah.
I mean, what about technology?
Yeah, good point.
I mean, AI is getting so advanced.
Right.
Could we use that?
Potentially.
Image recognition.
Yeah.
To help spot these fakes.
It's possible. Or, you know, maybe the law itself needs to be tweaked.
Right.
To keep up with, you know, how sophisticated these counterfeits are getting.
Right. I mean, some of these fakes are so good.
They are.
It's really scary.
It is.
So, yeah, there's a lot to think about. And it's an area that's constantly evolving. So I encourage everyone to, you know, stay informed, keep learning about this stuff. It's really important for businesses, for consumers, for everyone. And thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.